Hello, 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 hello. Once again, welcome to Rap, Rhythm and Poetry, where you are filled with spoken word poetry, where you express yourself about your society, where truthful music brings you liberty. And I am your host, Tami Borake, aka FGS Produce, aka Ali the Poet. And by the way, guys, if you are a conscious musician, poet, author, etc., and you would like to join our podcast or segment, you can kindly hit us up on IG at rap underscore and on Facebook r.a.p. With no further ado, I would like to start off the segment with a poem, shortly followed by an interview, and ending the segment with a song. Just to say, today we have a mind-battling poem and a conscious writer, and to us this has yet or will be an unforgettable segment, because we are joined by the Mangala Strider, a king who specifies in slam poetry. And the first time I ever heard him was at Ebukhosini Solutions at an event called Kwanzaa, and his competence stood out for me. So let's get it. Good evening, guys. I hope you've been good. I hope you've been good, my G. First and foremost, I would like to thank Mangala Stride for taking off his time for conducting this interview. And our aim, basically, in a nutshell, we're trying to evoke poetry on a digital platform or exposure. So, like, my G, this might sound weird for a question or to start off an interview. Can you please, like, tell us more about you in a nutshell? What do you do?
I'm a poet MC who is centered around making art that is reflective of the spirit, ancestry, community, and self, you know. So do that through poetry and emceeing.
Word.
And I not only do that for myself. When you're an artist, you're an entrepreneur. So yeah.
Cool. So we always had that dilemmas when it comes to pronouncing poets' names or authors. So like, can you just like kindly tell us your name, because like, we struggle like sometimes to just say it. Like, is it Mangala Stride or Strider?
Strider, Mangala Strider.
Okay, cool. So like, the significance of this name and origin, what is it about, dog?
Mangala is lineage. It comes from my pops, named after my grandfather. Mangala, it's my name and my surname. So that is just holding all of the powerful ancestors that I come with. And then Strider is a birthright. It is the love of hip hop, you know. It allowed me to create myself as Strider. It's an acronym that stands for striving towards reaching impossible dreams every rhythm.
Cool.
So that is Strider, you know. So it's about pushing to the top, you know.
I figured there's something more to that name, like Strider. I figured. So like, have you always been like conscious, like being from Africa? Like, have you always been trying to enhance those roots? Because like, in every work you do, I face that.
I'd say yes and no. When I was younger, I grew up in the church, but I've always found myself not understanding fully what's going on. I'd always question, like, what's that? You know what I mean?
Cool.
And then I grew up in an Afrikaans high school. I would say yeah, but not consciously, because my pops was a freedom fighter. He fought in politics, so that energy sort of got passed down to me, you know. But I just, you know, each generation takes it further, you know. I took it now back to who am I, you know. So I think so, because I started to be more aware of my consciousness in university, you know. In high school, I wouldn't necessarily say I would. Yeah, the hip-hop helps, you know, the music you listen to helps, it shapes a direction, you know, so yeah. I started listening to my technique in high school, low-key in high school, and they're very conscious, more on the political side, the political aspect of things, but it's enough to make you start questioning, you know, and the more you grow, you realize, okay, all these questions eventually lead you to who are you, you know. And then that's the ultimate journey where I started going within myself, my family lineage, and finding out in this world, we are defined as African people, as black people. We are defined for us, and the definition is not beautiful, you know. So for us to claim back our power, one of the key things we need to do is define ourselves. Who are we? You know, remember who we are, and then build from there.
King. I hear you. Okay, since you say like music shapes everything, have you like fetched your inspiration or your aspirations a lot from music?
Yeah. So we've gotten to a point where I feel like, okay, I need to pause the music a little bit and listen to myself, listen to the silence, you know, because I'm one of those people who would say things like, I can't go a day without listening to music, I'll go crazy.
I feel you.
But at this moment in time, I'm moving a little bit away from that. Nothing that there's nothing wrong with the music. I'm moving more to listening to myself in silence and trusting my inner voices, you know. But music shaped me to a large extent, you know, especially hip-hop music, conscious hip-hop music,
conscious,
you know.
Hip-hop.
Yeah, like, I love lyricism, you know, I love poetry, you know, so I don't compromise when it comes to that. I'm one of those, an artist could be famous, sell however records they sell, but if I listen to it and I don't enjoy it, then that artist is right for me. I don't care how many Grammys they win. I don't care how many streams they get. Like, if I listen and I feel like, that is where
the track,
then it will be right. Yeah.
Oh, cool, my G. So, since you like lyricism and like you a writer, would you like explore taking this to the financial side? Like exposing yourself, and like how do you get like exposure?
You know, I studied accounting and finance in university. I become accounting at bachelor's degree, which qualifies me to be an accountant. And then I have a postgraduate in financial management, which makes me more of a management accountant, you know. So I've always had the concept of brother get paid, you know. I've always had that concept. It's never been foreign to my life, you know. Because also when I look around my family, there's few people who are financially struggling. Yes, there are few people. When I look at my aunts, my uncles, there are few people, you know. So making money has always been there for me. So how do I expose myself? For me, I realized, God, do your own thing, host your own shows, bro. Your own shows. You get called by others, but always make sure you host your own shows, bro. Be independent, man. Like, do your own thing, you know. Push yourself, get a good team, and then find ways to monetize. I'm working more in the events organizing space, so I try to work with restaurants and see how we can broker deals, you know what I mean? With that, we start, of course, because you get booked, somebody wants a performance, and you give them your fee. However, my main thing, honestly, is aside from asking funding and things of that nature, is do your own performance, kid. Do your own performance, cost it right, and then do a ticketing price right, market it, you know, and then eventually the world will catch on, bro. But we're now, when you put in the work, you'll make your money, king. Money, we attract money, you know. So like, yeah, with me it's that, and then just going and supporting other cats, that one always helps. Collaborate, work with other cats, so that your network can grow. So when opportunities come, people can go like, oh yeah, Strada is brilliant with poach, let's holler at him, you know what I mean? And at times also, I would say, if you are able to get a job that doesn't take too much of your time, get that job. Yeah, because the job is more about, and as much as you need money, for me, when I look at employment, like a 9 to 3, I don't work 9 to 5, that shit is too long, you know. So it's like, I would say, if you can find a job that doesn't take too much of your time, get it, you know, and then that way you can able to invest in yourself much more, you know.
Indeed, truly. And I mean, like, in SA, we don't have a great audience of poetry authors. People, like, they lack going to those stuff or like participating in them. So like, we need to like evoke poetry, the spirituality of poetry. So like, big ups to what you're doing, my G. Because when I check on Facebook, oh my G, you like constantly on posters. So like, big ups to you.
Word, king, I'm a much love God, you know. The work reflects itself when you put it work.
Indeed.
And also, what I would say for you to say there's no audience, let me say this, there's a quote by the great knowledge reign supreme over nearly everyone. He says, revolution only works for those who participate, you know. And see this in line of poetry. I would say poetry has a great audience, especially here in Joburg. All over South Africa, but more especially here in Joburg, there's a lot of poetry sessions. People love poetry, you know? I think there's been a large misconception about poetry not being followed. Yeah, there's a huge misconception. When I was being one of the forefronts of picking up poetry, we used to Jewish weekly shows, and we charge tickets at the door, 50 rand a pop, and we average 40 people a week, you know. There's World of Words poetry where these people get 400 people to come to a poetry session. So now, if you can get 400 people to come to a session, then we can't say that poetry doesn't have an audience, you know what I mean?
Indeed, though.
Yeah, and there's history of other artists doing great work and hosting, getting themselves over 1,000. There's Brother Bruce Mosi of Current State of Poetry. He once filled a room of 1,000 people. So it's not true to say poetry does not have an audience. I think it's more of us putting in the work. And again, all the positive things in life are trying to put in the work, and will come to you, you know.
Cool, I hear you. You sound like you're reading this book. What's this book called? Like, the way you just reasoning about attractiveness and positivity. Is there like a book you're reading, probably?
At this moment, I would say I'm reading, but right now my reading life is a bit all over the place, because I have like 5 different books open that I'm not yet finished, you know. But it's not necessarily the most healthiest way to read, you know. Sometimes it's just concentrate on one and finish it. But I would say the one I'm reading now, the last book I read, is The Temple of Hip Hop by KRS-One. And
KRS.
Yeah, so it's hella dope. It's profound, you know. It's profound. It gives light to where we are going as hip hoppers, where we are going as lovers of this beautiful culture called hip hop, but this energy can easily be transferred to poetry as well, you know. So it's all one thing.
Yeah, totally. So like, yo, I've been battling when it comes to poetry. Like, maybe you face this, maybe a lot of people do. Like, when you faced with writer's block, like, how do you manage around that? Do you ever face it since, like, you were a slam poet? Or, like, do you just maneuver?
I'm privileged to be able to freestyle. That helps.
Dope. Freestyle.
What I would say is reading, man. If you grab the pen and you don't have anything to write, then read. For me, I take it as a sign for me to read. So I read something new, so fresh ideas, fresh energies can enter me, you know? So writer's block, I don't believe necessarily in it, you know? Sometimes even when you have writer's block, just write, you know? It doesn't have to, because maybe sometimes we say we have writer's block because we want to write the most perfect of things.
Perfect.
And maybe that, in that moment, it's really to just write and, like, just, yeah, maybe just write. But also, it's not a bad idea also to recognize the season you're in. Maybe at that particular point in time, you're better off reading than you are writing, and you're forcing the issue to write when you really should be reading, or maybe meditating, you know. Sometimes just also allow your energy to guide you, you know. Sometimes it's best to do that.
I hear you. Speaking of writing, so like, kindly tell us about Black Jesus. Every time I think about the word Black Jesus, I think about the first ship that had black people, and that was called Black Jesus. So like, can you like just be detailed about your poem? Because like, it's power.
I can hear it line for line, but let me first start with Black Jesus being that poem. That poem is inspired by Tupac, you know. Tupac has a song called Black Jesus. Yeah, he has a song. So there was a period in time where I would play one song and one, like, it's like a response poem, you know? It's a response to the song Black Jesus. So I play that song, listen to it, and Tupac spoke a lot on it, so yeah. I just wanted to... So the concept of Black Jesus, like, and I got it from Pac, is that brother who finds himself in... Because I'll hit it line for line. So the first line goes, divinity drenched in charcoal dermis. You know, so Christ himself, the biblical Christ, was divine, like he had reached God consciousness where he could recognize the oneness in all. So when that divinity drenched in charcoal germ is now talking about that consciousness being found in the black man, charcoal dermis. Dermis is the top layer of the skin. You know, he was conceived in the furnace of Geremoto. So now, this particular divinity, he was born in the ghetto. He was born in the ghetto where there's a lot of heat, you know. There's a lot of heat in death. There's a lot of heat in societal pressures. There's a lot of heat in unemployment. There's a lot of heat where the brother needs to provide for his family. There's a lot of heat. Sisters are not feeling safe. So it's like, it's a boiling pot of so much chaos. You know, it's like a volcano. And that's where this Black Jesus was born. So divinity drenched in charcoal dermis. He was conceived in the furnace of ghetto murders. He chastises the gunpowder, the drug street urchins. So him, once he starts coming into his God consciousness, he starts teaching the youth, Munahore, these guns and whatnot, they're not good for you, you know. Get off this high of wanting to grab guns and kill one another. So he dwells in the mystic air or mastermind circles, inhaling turbulence of seeming not merging, exhaling purpose, severing generational curses. So he shows Wunga, the righteous man of the Rastafarians, which deals with the knowledge builders of the community. And most of the time, knowledge builders within ghetto situations usually hold over blood, you know. And then when they smoke, they can see all the ills, you know. So when he takes an inhale, he inhales all the problems of semen's not nurtured. Usually, I was really looking at the sons, but the sisters as well. So you look at sons who are very violent, sisters who are young and very promiscuous, you know. So he inhales all of that, and then he exhales purpose. So when he exhales, he comes up with solutions. He comes up with wisdom and words to help them realize that this is a system that's designed for you to live in the struggle, you know. So he dwells in the mystic air of Rastaman circles, inhaling purpose, inhaling turbulence of semen not nurtured, exhaling purpose, severing in generational curses. In melting pots, he carves gospel tunes out of tablet talks. So now, in Garcia and villages, the tavern is where you find everybody, you know? So, and it's chaos. So, in that chaos, he can find a way to change the chaos that's in the dark by the taverns, and he makes them speak righteous, you know? Because Black Jesus is essentially a brother and a sister too, who is in the space of poverty, absolute mayhem, and they do a lot of good, you know. In the tavern, he can still get them to do good, you know. He carves gospel truth out of tavern talks. He stores honor in promiscuous thoughts. You know that the colloquial, the slang word for thought is a promiscuous woman, you know.
Yeah.
So he stores honor in them. He teaches them to make them realize that your body is a temple of the Most High. You create life. Life comes through you, you know. You can't just be having sex with everybody. And that goes to the guys too, because guys, you can't just be giving your life force to everybody. You're losing yourself, you know. So he helps us realize we must lose our thought mindset, you know. And then he comforts wounds crying of corpses that rot, you know. For spirituality, when you come into spirituality and you come into knowledge of life, you realize that the womb is alive, you know. A sister's womb is alive, it holds family, and you know it's alive because life grows in there, you know.
Yeah,
so now, when these sisters are being raped, when they commit abortions, when they experience miscarriages, these spirits in the womb, the womb becomes rotten and it needs healing, it needs cleansing. So as Black Jesus, he does that as well. Because after that, these souls comforts wombs, crying of corpses that rot, and that's when the Black Jesus part comes. Black Jesus! And if you know Pop, you know that's how I really they try to spit that image out, you know? And then he teaming the Nelpic Noah, morphing Alex to leaders. And this line, I just took, it's a line, Pop didn't say it like this. He said it, he was more in a speech. And he was talking about, they were asking him if he believes in God. And he was like, he believes God gives us ability to do what he does, you know. And he's like, Jesus turned water to wine. We can turn a crackhead, in our case, a yelper head, into someone who's righteous, or to someone who's disciplined and ordered, you know. So that's what I said. I remember when I said Black Jesus, I remember Pop, and then I remember what he said. So I had to flip it and make it more poetic and make it to speak to my situation or our situation. Taming the Nelpic Noah, morphing addicts to leaders, you know. So that know that craving, he removes it, and then he makes these same people that were once forgotten, he turns them into noble citizens of the community. And then this goes, the last bars are for the spirituality aspect of it, because Black Jesus is powerful, like actual Jesus, you know. Yeah. So he's an Creon, which is a poet or a truth teller, or like in traditional terms, someone who can prophesy the future, you know, who tells people what's about to come. So he is a riot with sonnets that tame violence. So his sonnet is a type of poem. Mm-hmm. With his sonnets, he tames the violence that's within the community. He wears the blood of ancestors who petrified tyrants. And who was thinking that peace to Abu Sowore and Chris Hani and the likes of great men, but I also was taking it back to Abu Shaka, Abu Mukobamba Kaba, those ancestors that were warriors who charged in front of bullets and were fighting. He wears that blood, and you know the oppressors is afraid when we are not afraid, you know, with ancestors who petrified tyrants. He oozes defiance, and this flows more to the not so far long ago ancestors. I was Steve Biko, Chris Hani, those ones were defiant, you know. He sends shivers down police sirens, you know. So he makes the whole system get scared, you know. He makes the people vomit violence and give blood to the system's nightmares. So he makes the people, like the pain that we feel, the violence that the system gives us, he makes us vomit it and give it back to the system, and he gives blood to the system's nightmare. So blood is just for life, you know. So whatever the system fears, he helps the people get there, you know. So that is essentially the whole poem. It's about Park, you know. Park is Black Jesus. It's also an honor to him because he spoke for the people that were forgotten, the Black brothers and sisters that are struggling, that society seems not to care about, and them into a better place. And from leading them into a better place, he helps them take charge of their destiny. So that's what the poem is about, my Lord. We say it.
I read a lot. Yo, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. Now that you broke it down for me, I get it. I mean, like, the sentence structure, the grammar, it's dope. The eloquism to the poet, it's dope. I mean, like, you have an intro, a climax, and an outro. So, like, infinite wisdom, though. I appreciate that poem, my G. I appreciate that poem.
God.
So, like, would you like people to follow you on any social media?
Yes, my king. Get them. I've started my own poetry organization. So I flipped the Instagram page that was before my personal page. I'm flipping it to the company page. The company is called I Am Possible Art. But to search me on the gram, just type I Am Possible Arts, I_M_possible_arts, and then you'll see me there. We got a lot of beautiful work coming up. We're going to be hosting a lot of great shows. It's not just myself, I got a lot of great artists that I come with, you know. So I love putting people on. What part of what I love about what I do, man, I love putting people on. I love getting people who are shy to get them on stage, and I love people who are really great to even help them become greater, you know. So I love putting people on. I'll be hosting a lot of shows, mostly in the Melville, Bramfontein, Maboneng area. You know what, let me not even limit myself. I'm going to be hosting shows all over South Africa.
Don't limit.
And later, I will be moving to other African countries, you know. So check out Possible Arts out, and on Facebook, Mangala Strada is my personal handle. There, I'm a bit more... There it's me. I talk a lot of shit there. I talk wisdom, but I also talk jokes. I have a Strada page on Facebook. Just Google Strada, you'll see me there. Instagram, if you are just interested solely in my art and none of that shit I talk, don't follow me on Facebook because I will upset you. I upset a lot of people on Facebook.
If you just want my art and wisdom,
follow me on Instagram. Instagram is the best. I don't post when I'm angry there. I don't post to upset people. I just post art and keep it moving. But Facebook, that's where I'm like, you know what, man, who can I What can I say that will annoy people? You know? And then I see some shit, you know. So yeah, but yeah, that's my socials in a nutshell. And I'm also on Instagram. No, not Instagram. YouTube. Mama Stride. I have quite some nice videos there. You can check me out there as well.
Dope, dope. And guys, and there you have it, the great Mangala Stride. So like this guy, Strider, you heard it from him, and he's the great Mangala Strider. I hope I said it correctly now. And he's everything in a nutshell. His humor, his genius, his infinite wisdom, he's everything. Dog, he's even academic smart. So like follow this guy. Peace, my G.
Peace, my king. Thank you for the interview. Shout out to you. I wish this platform more prosperity, more growth, more success, more
fire, fire.
To come to this platform. It's all love, Jagger Song.
Fire. This poem is titled Black Jesus and it's recited by Mangala Strider.
Divinity drenched in charcoal dermis. He was conceived in the furnace of ghetto murders. He chastises the gunpowder that drops street urchins. He dwells in the mystic air of Rastaman circles, inhaling turbulence of semen's not nurtured, exhaling purpose, suffering generational curses. In melting pots, he carves gospel tunes out of tavern talks. He sows honor in promiscuous thoughts, comforts wombs that cry of corpses that rot. Black Jesus, he tames the Yaubek Noah and morphs addicts to leaders. He is a client with sonnets that tame violence. He wears the blood of ancestors who petrified tyrants. He oozes defiance, makes the people vomit violence, and give blood to the system's nightmares.
And let's get straight into today's acoustic by a South African international artist named Fifi Ray Blaster, and you named it, she's a female rapper. This single debuted in 2011 on the 2nd of September and it is called Light. I hope you enjoy this track and remember, where truthful music gives you liberty.
Far from me. pardon's reward, but mine now the first. Blessed with the wrath and the curse. Danger, stranger, get out of my way. You never cease when we cry. Senior spy, Jedi, good eye, speaker, king's alive. In a form of human blood, spirit lines.
And we have reached the end of today's segment. And don't forget to tell a friend to tell a friend's family member to join our podcast, At Rap, where you are filled with spoken word poetry, where you express yourself about your society, where truthful music gives you liberty. And that's a rap from us at Rhythm and Poetry. See what I did there?